Good morning. Welcome to Communitas. I'm good, thanks. I'm doing well. How are you? Good. I'm glad. My name is Julie. For those of you who don't know, I'm an associate pastor here at Communitas. And we've been in this series, I don't know, it's been a couple months, I think, on what love is. And I kind of find it kind of funny that I think I'm teaching more often in this series than I have in previous ones. And the fact that we're talking about love and I'm the single pastor. So just, you know, like, what do I know? But what I love about the way we're looking at this series is how does the love that God has for us allow us and challenge us to love one another in this relationship in community? Because without this doesn't work. But we were created for this. So that's what all these different snapshots, these glimpses, this series has been about, is different ways that this love allows us to do this love. So today, we are going to be talking about love is loyal. And this, thanks for leading me off there, Chris. Appreciate that. And this idea of loyalty. And when I first, a friend of mine, when I asked, I said, how have you seen God's love for you allow you to love other people? Like, what's one way you've experienced it? And his first reaction was, oh, I've experienced loyalty in friendships and in relationships. And it was like knee-jerk reaction. You know how when you're just like, oh, I know. This is how I've experienced it recently. And I was like, loyalty? Like, I just didn't even occur to me. So I'm like, oh, interesting. So the Lord's really been working on me in that. Like, what does it mean to be loyal? And the definition of loyalty is this powerful sense of belonging and solidarity. And you can't belong and you can't be in solidarity alone, right? Like, it's impossible to belong to yourself. I mean, I guess you can, but that's a whole nother conversation. But, right? Yeah. This wholehearted fidelity, unswerving devotion to someone or something that's loyal. And so a funny example that came to mind immediately when I started thinking of this is my mother is a diehard football fan, NFL football fan, clarify there. And she's not team loyal. Like, she doesn't follow a team. She's quarterback loyal, right? And has been from day one. She'll hark back to Super Bowl III and Joe Namath and, like, right? Yeah, there was this one golf tournament that we happened to be at when I was, I think, 10 or 11. And Joe Namath was one of the celebrity golfers or whatever. She had me follow that man and his caddy, like, three or four holes. I'm like this little kid. She's like, oh, get his autograph. And this is, like, how long ago since the Super Bowl III? I don't even know. I got the man's autograph because she's a diehard Joe Namath fan. What other ones has she followed? She's followed Jim McMahon from the Bears. She followed Steve Young. And she follows these guys through their whole career, right? Her current one, his name is Alex Smith. And to be honest, I don't even know what team he plays for right now. I think he's the Chiefs. Yeah, okay, Chiefs. So she will, what's that? Redskins? Did he get traded? Okay, we'll see. I don't even know. I should call my mom. I should have called her and said, Mom, who does Alex Smith play for now? But so the idea is that she's loyal to these guys. She has no relationship with these guys, right? But she knows everything about their lives. Like, so she's loyal. And then I'll show you another thing, somebody that's loyal to her. And you can go ahead and put this up, Ron. This is Marley. This is my parents' dog. Marley is 9. And what you can't see in this picture is her sheer size. OK, Okay. She thinks she's a lap dog, but my parents have a very large couch in their basement living room that Marley takes up the entire couch. And that's what she's like laying on right there and just kind of, but trying to make herself really small. Anyway, she follows my mom around. She knows my mom's footsteps. Like she can tell the difference between my footsteps and her footsteps, my brother's footsteps. And when my mom is walking up the stairs, Marley is right there. I think part of it is she knows who feeds her, right? My dad calls her the dinner princess. Like, ooh, where's the dinner princess? Because Marley's around. So this idea that, like, this unswerving devotion. Now, these are just kind of funny things, right? But when you look at it, when we really study what the Bible says about loyalty, it's purely relational, right? Loyalty, this, what it means to be whole, with your whole being thoroughly committed to someone. Yeah. Oh, look at you. Thanks, Janetta. I love it. Man's best friend. So in our relationships with one another, we're called to this steadfast loyalty. And what does that mean? That means like, we don't move. We're like, I'm with you. I'm in this. I'm locked with you. Right? And I want to share a specific story of like, so you guys have learned this about me in my teaching. I'm a real visual learner. I love stories. I love pictures. You can go ahead and move on from Marley. Thanks, Ron. Actually go back. Sorry. I don't want that up yet. But a great story of what loyalty looks like is from the book of Ruth. And I'm going to paint the picture and we're going to kind of explore a little bit about her specifically, but okay, I want you to imagine this. All of a sudden in the land that you live in, the land you're from, there's no more food. There's no more water. You're like, everything you need has dried up. And so this woman named Naomi and her husband, his name was Elimelech. I get my tongue twisted here. Elimelech. And they decide, they're like, yo, we don't have any work here. We don't have any food here. We need to find another place. And so they up and they pull up stakes and they move from Israel to a place called Moab. And they bring their two sons with them, Mahlon and Chilion. And they're there to look, no doubt. I mean, what are things that make you want to move from the city, right? Jobs, looking for a job, looking for housing, looking, maybe move closer to family or move away from family. I mean, let's be honest. Weather, right? Just the hustle and bustle. Maybe you want more peace. Like, so there are a lot of motivations for why we moved to somewhere else. So theirs was because there was no, I mean, it was like, this is life or death. But they moved to a place called Moab, which is, for a Jewish person, that's super sketchy. I was trying to think of an example, but I didn't want to like degrade anybody from like, I hear really bad things about Newark, right? So I didn't want to do that. But anyway, just an experience. Like if you move from a place where everyone's like, this is where you should live, to a place where it's like, yo, why'd you move there? Like that's sketchy. You're going to lose what respect you have, what people have for you. You're going to go down really dark paths. Like this is going to be bad. Well, while in Moab, Naomi's husband dies. He dies, leaving her a widow, which in that time as a Jewish woman and we're talking like Old Testament, women can't survive without husbands. And then her sons marry two Moabite women, which again is like, these women don't know anything about the Jewish faith. They don't know, like they're living in a foreign land. So they take it on there. And these two daughters-in-law, one is Ruth and one is Orpah. Not to be confused with Oprah, Orpah. right? And then her sons die. So Naomi's left without her husband, without her sons, and these two daughters-in-law who are from this foreign land. And she's like, after your husband dies, you look to your sons to help care for you. They're gone. And now I'm in a foreign land, and I don't know any, I just, like, can you imagine the devastation? Well, after all of this has happened, she hears word that Israel is now safe to move back to. Like, there's now, the famine is over, there is now prosperity happening, and so she's like, okay, it's time for me to go back. I need to cut my losses, and I need to go back home. Because I have nothing. Nothing. And so she gets ready to leave. Both her daughters-in-law are like, well, we're going to come with you. Like, we have this relationship. You are our mother-in-law. Like, and it's deeper than that. It's not just like the mother-in-law you go visit, you know, once a month or once a year. It's like you're doing life with this woman. And she's like, Naomi's like, no, you know what? You really shouldn't do that because, like, I have nothing to offer you. I'm not going to have any more kids. So you're not, you know, I'm not going to get married and have sons that you can marry. I have nothing to offer you. Stay here because this is your land and your chances of getting married in my land is like slim to none. So it's worse for you if you come with me. So just stay here. And Orpah's like weeping, but she sees the reasoning in that. She sees the wisdom and's like, okay, well, I'm going to stay here and go back to my family. And so they say a tearful goodbye and she leaves. Well, Ruth is like, no. No. I'm going to stick. I'm going to stay with you. She refuses to leave. And she not only refuses to leave Naomi's side, but she pledges her loyalty to her. So let's take a look at this. This is what she says. Ruth replies, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I want you to sit and think about that for a second. Do you realize the power or the courage it took for her to say this? This is her saying, I'm leaving my culture. I'm leaving my faith, what I know about God. I am leaving everyone I know to go to a place where you're saying, this isn't going to work. And not only that, but your people are going to judge me. And not only that, I'm a young woman. I'm never going to get married. Like there's no hope for her from this standpoint. The likelihood of her seeing any kind of thriving or fruitfulness in her life is slim to none. And yet, she goes. And here's the big thing. Here's what I want you guys to remember, too. She's a Moabite. She's a Moabite. Which means she's like, nobody, it's like one of the most scandalous things you could say. It's horrible. Like if the Jewish people heard just even the name, oh, she's a Moabite. It's like, yo, I can't. Nope. Can't. I can't even look at you. I can't be in the same room as you. My reputation is tainted because we're sharing the same air. Like this is, I mean, it's significant. And yet she says, your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Ruth has nothing to gain and a whole lot to lose. But she still sticks. There's a Hebrew word for this kind of loyalty. And the word is called hesed. Hesed. And the word literally means loyalty born from love. So it's not a loyalty because she was ordered by the king to be loyal. She wasn't afraid for her life. She wasn't getting paid for it. She did it purely because she loved Naomi. Their relationship was that tight. And this word, hesed, is used often for our the love that God has for us? What happens when you are in a relationship, in a friendship maybe, when you're hurt? What about when you feel betrayed? What about when you're the betrayer? How many of you have been hurt in a relationship? I'm going to be honest. Chris's hand went straight up. Appreciate that commitment. We are called to be Hesed, this loyalty birthed out of love. And yet, people let us down, right? There's disappointment, there's hurt, there's betrayal. And yet, God is loyal. The whole reason, remember, this series is all about how this love that God has for us allows us to do this love. If we had to do this in our own strength, if we had to be loyal in our own strength, forget it. The minute I was disappointed, the minute I was hurt, the minute I was betrayed, or the minute I realized I was the betrayer, I'm out. I can't. Because the fear, the shame, the anger that comes from these things, right, is like, I can't do this. But we were created to belong, right? We were created to be in relationship, to be in community. And it's the only reason we're able to be that kind of loyal is because God was first loyal to us. I want you to imagine this deep, that what kind of connection and relationship, the deep, sweet connection that must have been between Ruth and Naomi for Ruth to up and leave everything she knew and risk everything. Only so that she was in community with Naomi, right? And Naomi wasn't like, oh, I'm so grateful that you're with me. She was like, don't come. I'm not worth coming with. There's nothing for you. I have nothing for you. It's going to be awful. Like, it wasn't like she was selling her on it. she was like, no, I'm with you. And now I want you to kind of what the Lord is trying to say to you. We're going to look at Romans. And this is the kind of loyalty we're talking about. Can you put up the Romans verse for me? This is the Apostle Paul explaining the idea of like, this is what his love looks like. This is what God's love looks like. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Okay, how many of y'all have worries? Fears for today and worries about tomorrow, right? Oh man, I read a thing earlier today that said, don't be a worrier, be a warrior. And I'm like, woo, right? I'm a worrier. So anyway, so not even those things, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Can you go to the next one for me, Ron? No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but that's loyal. Nothing can separate us. And we're talking like, even when we fail, because I'm going to tell you this right now, if this isn't, hopefully this isn't a secret to anyone, because I'm going to, spoiler alert, we're going to fail God. We're going to fail in this relationship with him. We're going to screw up. We're going to walk away. We're going to be angry. We're going to be the ones that walk away. He's never going to go anywhere. no matter what. He is completely loyal and steadfast. His assurance is that he will always be loyal to us. And this is how, this is the other statement I want us to look at. And be sure of this. This is Jesus saying before he is taken up, in the, after the resurrection, he's taken up to heaven. He says this. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So not only can nothing separate us from him, but he's going to be with us always. And so when you think about what does it mean to be loyal? And when you're challenged to be loyal about your loyalty to other people, what does it look like for me to be loyal in this friendship, in this relationship? Or when you're doubting, man, I don't know if I can love like that. Just remember, nothing can separate you from the love of God. He will always be loyal. Father God, I pray right now for us that you would show us what it means to be loyal to one another, Lord, with a love that you give us and not a love that we try to work out of ourselves, Lord, because left to our own devices, we are pretty crappy at loving. But Lord, you're amazing. And your love is so strong that nothing in all creation can break it, can separate us from it. So Lord, I pray that you would remind us today of what your love's loyalty looks like. And Lord, I challenge that you would show us how we can be loyal. Or even someone in our lives right now that we need, that you're calling us to be loyal to, even when it doesn't make sense. Lord, help us to risk to be loyal. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.